There are 10 people I would like to meet when I get to the pearly gates. I'm going to list them on my show, and one is not Phoebe Cates. Phoebe Cates is not dead, so she wouldn't be in heaven anyway. She's a wonderful person, a wonderful, blunderful person. 10 people I would like to meet in heaven. Hello, podcast listeners. My name is Ron Burgundy, and I'm an exceptional man. About a year ago, another wonderful man named Mitch Palbon came out with a very popular book called The 5 People You Meet in Heaven. And although I didn't read the book, it was a big-time bestseller. I prefer saucier stuff when I read. I like historical novels about lords and ladies and bawdy wenches and swordplay. I do. I like swordplay in my fiction, and I like comely lasses, too. I also like thought-provoking literature about the Roman times. I'm a bit of a scholar when it comes to the Roman times. Did you know that they didn't refer to the Roman times as the Roman times in the Roman times? They didn't. They called them the now times, just like we do now. Isn't that funny?
Yes,
Carolina is here as always. She's my partner in crime for these entertaining talkie talks we do called podcasts. Hello there, old friend.
Were you going to tell people what today's show is all about?
Nonsense. It's about nonsense, like it is every week. I'm going to talk and talk and talk until it's all over, and then I'm going to walk to my car, take a nap in my car, and then drive to a supermarket and get a bottle of scotch. From there, I'll head home so I can lounge on my balcony in the nude, drinking scotch until I pass out. At some point, I will eat a steak.
You told me there was a theme to today's show, though.
I did? Oh, so I did. It was the book by Mitch Gablon called 5 People You Gotta Meet in Heaven. Well, guess what, Carolina? We are going to beat this Ganton guy, and we're going to talk about not 5, but 10 people I would like to meet in heaven. That's twice what that guy talked about.
So today's episode is going to be about the 10 people we would like to meet in heaven?
That's right. And I think everyone has a short list of people throughout history that they would like to meet when they finally get to heaven. I mean, don't you, Carolina?
I don't make one.
You probably could make. I mean, let's be clear. Heaven's not just going to be about meeting people. There will be tennis courts and poolside bars with all-you-can-eat buffets with tacos and make-your-own ice cream sundaes. There will be movie nights and meet-and-greet socials and Katie Hawkins dances. And let's not forget world-class.
Is that Sadie Hawkins dance, you mean?
Yeah, Sadie or Katie. Depends on what part of the country you're from.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Also, let's not forget, in heaven, there's going to be world-class entertainment along with 24/7 gaming rooms and the beds. Don't get me started on the beds. The thread count on the sheets in heaven will be simply the best. I'm guessing Egyptian cotton. I'm maybe Macy's, or maybe they get a discounted Bed Bath & Beyond. I don't know what I'm saying. Maybe the angels make the sheets in heaven. You know what, Carolina?
What?
You just don't know. You don't. That's what I know. You just don't know. You don't know much about heaven except that it will be pure luxury. Oh, Carolina, you know what I would love to have in my bathroom up in heaven?
No.
One of those shower nozzles that hits you like 35 different ways, right in the butthole and the donker. I've always wanted one of those. How about you? What kind of shower would you like in heaven?
I don't know. I've never really thought about it. I mean, I guess I would like it to work when I turn it on.
And
I guess it would be great if the hot water didn't cut out all of a sudden.
Okay, come on, Carolina, dream a little. It's heaven we're talking about.
I mean, I like good water pressure.
But what about 35 jets of high power water hitting your boobies and your butt?
Sure. I guess I would like that.
Now we're talking, huh? Man, I can hardly wait to get there. TV in the bathroom.
Should we get on with the theme of today's show?
You bet. Here's the theme song I wrote for today's show, even though we always have our normal theme songs that we play at the beginning of the podcast, but it goes like this. There are 10 people I would like to meet when I get to the pearly gates. I'm going to list them on my show, and one is not Phoebe Cates. Phoebe Cates is not dead, so she wouldn't be in heaven anyway. She's a wonderful person, a wonderful, blunderful person. 10 people I would like to meet in heaven.
How'd that grab you, huh?
You just made that up.
I've been working on that theme song for a week. Nope. Carolina, you are a quick little smarty pants. I did indeed make that up. Well, let's get on with today's show. The first person I would like to meet in heaven is Dougie Stubernot.
Who is Dougie Stubernot?
Interesting story. I was in junior high, so we are going back sometime, and I had a baseball glove. And this was not just any baseball glove. You know what I mean?
You liked this baseball glove.
Did I ever? I slept with it. I brought it to dances. I went everywhere with that baseball glove. I didn't take that darn thing off my hand for a whole year. And then one day, my baseball glove goes missing. And I panic. I mean, I tried to burn down the school. I called the FBI. No joke. I got a drug-sniffing dog and tried to teach it to smell leather. It found horse saddles and wallets and car seats, but the stupid dog never found my glove. Then one day, I got a hot tip. Some people said that they saw Dougie Stubernot with my glove in the park. Now, Stubernot had the locker right next to mine, so it made perfect sense. I went to his house, and I confronted him. And you know what he did? He lied right to my face. So, long story short, when I get to heaven, I'm going to find Dougie Stubernot, and I'm going to punch him in the nose and get my glove back.
The first person you meet in heaven, a guy named Dougie Stubernot, you're going to punch in the nose?
Yep.
Okay, who else would you like to meet in heaven?
Michael Jackson.
Oh, okay, that's interesting.
Why does that surprise you? We were friends once. I didn't know anything about any of that other junk that was going on. I was more friends with Tito, but Michael and I had a love of animals we shared. He had his monkeys and I had Baxter. Anyway, most people know that for a short while I had the world's largest collection of domesticated bighorn sheep.
Can you domesticate a bighorn sheep?
Not really, but I had two of them in my backyard and they were about as domesticated as you could get.
That was the world's largest collection?
World's largest. Or maybe they were just sick. Who knows? I had the Jacksons over for dinner one night. Michael was just a boy, maybe 14. Anyway, I could tell he liked the bighorns. And, well, it was a wonderful night. We played Twister and sang songs, and then they left. And then I noticed that one of my bighorns was gone.
Oh, no.
Yeah, the one I called Lazy Butt, on account that he never moved or did anything and just sat around and looked tired and sad. And then I found out years later Michael Jackson has a whole zoo at his house.
Yeah.
So the proof is in the pudding. I know that that guy stole one of my bighorns. Anyway, when I get to heaven, I'm going to find Michael Jackson and punch him in the nose and find out what happened to my bighorn sheep.
So are there people you would want to meet in heaven that you wouldn't punch in the nose?
Sure. What about Yoda?
Yoda from Star Wars?
Yep.
Oh, well, he's not real.
In heaven, he's real. I'd really like to sit down with Yoda. Not because he's a green blob of a guy or because he talks backwards, or because he's a smart guy, or because he can float in the air. I would like to talk to Yoda because he's like 800 years old. How fun would that be, right? You could ask a guy like that almost anything. What was it like to roll a hoop down the street for fun? What's it like to kill a witch? Who was the baddest mofo during the Civil War? How tall was Alexander Hamilton? And believe me, he would be happy to tell you. That guy can talk up a storm. He takes his time, but he can sure talk. Did you ever see the movie Star Wars?
Did I see Star Wars?
Yes. It's a movie that takes place in outer space with laser shooters. Huh? Did you see it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, everyone saw Star Wars. Yes, I saw it.
Then you know about Yoda. He doesn't really show up until the second Star Wars. You know, you may know it as the fifth Star Wars, but in my day, it was called the second Star Wars. Actually, Ronald Reagan started Star Wars, but George Lucas gave it the pizzazz.
So you would like to meet Yoda in heaven and ask him about notable moments from American history.
Notice I said Yoda, not Baby Yoda. Baby Yoda is ridiculous and stupid. I had no intention of ever talking to that guy. I don't see what the big deal is. He's not cute. He doesn't talk. He's not even a good actor. But the real grown-up Yoda, I bet he's a cool customer in heaven. And there's probably a line out of the back of heaven to talk to him or get him to sign stuff. And I wouldn't wait in a line, but eventually I'd get my chance to talk to Yoda. I'm not one of those crazy Star Wars people you see down in my neck of the woods around Comic-Con. You know the type, they get all dressed up and play with fake lightsabers. Carolina, you ever heard of Comic-Con?
Once again, everyone has heard of Comic-Con.
Don't sass me. It's a very big deal down in my neck of the woods. It happens every year, and let me tell you, it is a magical extravaganza. The streets are filled with the colors of the rainbow, and there's like 16 Spider-Mans and 30 Wonder Womans and usually a Count Dracula, and you're like, guy, is that the best you can do, Count Dracula? But it's a ton of fun. I usually open up a little butter brickle stand to make a few extra shekels the week Comic-Con comes to town.
No, you don't.
It's called Ron Burgundy's Bodacious Butter Brickle, and it's usually the hit of Comic-Con. Google it. You'll see. It's called Ron Burgundy's Bodacious Butter Brickle. That's a good eat. You know what, Carolina, before we continue, let's take an ad break. We'll take a little pause here, and when we come back, we will talk a little bit more on people I would love to meet in heaven.
Okay. Back with the Ron Burgundy podcast. We're listening to Ron list his 10 people he would like to meet in heaven.
Yes. Here's a controversial one. I'd like to meet John F. Kennedy when I get to heaven.
No, yeah, he would be interesting. Probably very smart.
The main reason I'd like to meet JFK, as he is sometimes known, is because he might be able to confirm my deepest suspicion about who really killed him.
Lee Harvey Oswald killed Kennedy.
Oh, Carolina, you sad, unquestioning, naive young woman. I wouldn't expect you to understand, but the world isn't always wrapped up in the neat little pink bow that you want it to be. No, there are a lot of theories about who killed Kennedy. Did the Russians do it? What about the mob? Some people think Lyndon B. Johnson paid Oswald to do it. Hoover was in love with Oswald. That was a known fact, so maybe he did it. There are those, not many, who think Christopher Walken did it. Even aliens come into play, but I've had my own theory for quite some time, and if I get a chance to ask JFK, I bet he would tell me I'm right.
Wait, who do you think killed Kennedy?
Well, simple math. Everyone knew the 35th president was sleeping with Marilyn Monroe, that voluptuous blonde bombshell and Hollywood vixen. And what red-blooded American male would not sleep with Marilyn Monroe if given the chance, huh? Who wouldn't sleep with Marilyn Monroe? Can you think of anyone?
No.
Well, you would sleep with her, right?
I mean, yeah, I guess I would.
You wouldn't kick her out of bed for eating crackers?
No, I wouldn't.
Marilyn Monroe, classic. I mean, I'd dig up her grave and take her for a ride today if I thought the worms hadn't already eaten her up.
Oh, my God.
You know what? No, I shouldn't have said that. Don't worry. You know what? I will edit that out later.
It's okay. I'll edit it out.
No, I got it.
Okay.
Anyway, all of Washington knew JFK and Marilyn were sneaking off to engage in sexual activity, and this did not sit well with someone in particular, and this someone hatched a plan. While the motorcade steered its way through the hot streets of Dallas that unforgettable day, Jacqueline Lee Kennedy reached into her purse and pulled out a tiny pistol that blew open our president's head.
So you think Jackie Kennedy killed JFK?
Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. It's a theory. I dabbled in criminology, a parlor game, really, but it's a lot of fun. So if I saw him in heaven, I would ask him, hey, did your wife shoot you in the head? I can see it now, the slow smile and the chuckle, and finally the admission. He'd probably shake my hand as the first person to solve the case. Anyway, who else?
I mean, you can meet anyone. What about like Gandhi or Napoleon or Lincoln?
I've got one. Jerry Lewis. That guy always made me laugh with his antics. The king of slapstick. Jerry Lewis. What a performer. That's a guy I would want to meet. Then I'd go for jazz musician Miles Davis.
That's pretty cool, Miles Davis.
Yeah, you like my, yeah. Well, for those of you who don't know, I play a pretty solid jazz flute. In fact, I'd say I can sit in with the best of them. Anyway, Miles and I go way back. I was once covering a news story in a little town outside of Denver called Mullinston. Look it up. It's on Google. And after a long day's work, I pulled into a roadside bar to have a scotch and check out the local color. Up on the bandstand was none other than Miles Davis. This was in his Coltrane period, so it was him and John Coltrane. Anyway, the crowd was comprised of mainly cowboys and hicks, and it struck me as odd that Miles would have gotten the gig in this out-of-the-way joint, but I was digging the sound and enjoying the scotch when all of a sudden there was a roar of thunder and the doors burst open. It was a biker gang, but not just any biker gang, but the most fearsome of them all, the Crimson Dragons.
I thought the Hell's Angels were like the most notorious biker gang.
Okay, but you know what? This is my story, Carolina. If you want to make up a biker gang name for your stories, then you can do that. But this is my story, so the Crimson Dragons it is.
It just doesn't even sound tough. It sounds like a girls' soccer team.
Oh, these were tough guys. There must have been 50 of them. Leather jackets, beards, blue jeans, the whole nine yards, and they didn't like jazz. The leader of the group, a big scary guy named Mustache Bill, yelled out, "Get them musicians off the stage!"
Mustache Bill?
The leader of the Crimson Dragons, yes.
Okay.
He was 6'10", weighed 300 pounds. To kill him with a gun would take 15 rounds. He ate like a bear and he smelled like one too. Every time he pooped, it was a mountain of poo. In one hand, he held a cross from his wife. In the other hand, he carried a big Bowie knife. The cross was for prayer and the knife for to kill. And that's why they called him Mustache Bill.
You wrote a poem?
I'm not sure what you're talking about. Anyway, this mean old Mustache Bill says, "Get them musicians off the stage." And I could see that Miles and Train were scared to death. The whole gang started running for the band, knocking over chairs and tossing people around. Well, that's when I remembered that I had my flute with me. And as they are running to beat up the guys in the band, I yell out, "Anyone who doesn't like jazz is a square." And I know it sounds like a pretty soft insult these days, but back then, whoa, boy. You call someone a square and it was like calling them a mother today. Anyway, the guy comes to a dead halt and turns to look at me. The bar is as quiet as a whorehouse on a Sunday morning. Mustache Bill starts to walk towards me, holding the big Bowie knife.
Oh, yeah, from the poem you wrote.
That there wasn't a poem. He starts to walk towards me, and that's when I bring the flute to my mouth and blow. At first, something soft and juicy, but then my mojo gets going and I get real soulful. Some of the guys in the motorcycle gang start getting into the groove, as they say, and I get deeper into a down-home jazz funk kind of thing. The rhythm section starts to join in, and I can see now I have the whole gang in the palm of my hand. Then Miles and Coltrane start playing with me. Each new riff has them cheering and shouting. "They hardly let us finish. I want more jazz," shouted Mustache Bill. We played on into the morning. Miles Davis thanked me for saving the band, and off I went into the early morning air of the Rocky Mountains, satisfied that jazz flute had saved another life. So yeah, I'd like to see my old friend Miles Davis when I get to heaven. We could have a good laugh over Mustache Bill and the Crimson Dragons.
I'm sorry, I can't help it. Mustache Bill and the Crimson Dragons sounds like a children's book.
You know who else I'd like to meet in heaven?
Who?
Cleopatra.
Oh, that's a good choice.
Don't I know it? Cleopatra was probably the foxiest woman of all time. She had a way about her, that's for sure. I like the way she did her stuff, all right. Man, that was all woman packed into that Egyptian frame. Ha-cha-cha. Where there's smoke, there's fire. You know what I'm talking about, Seaballs?
My name isn't Seaballs. What happened to you? So you want to meet Cleopatra because she was beautiful? Is that it?
Little background, Seaballs. I am an amateur historian. Almost everyone knows that. I've actually won awards with my history stuff. Anywho, not to brag, but ancient Roman times is kind of my thing. In short, I've done the research. Cleopatra, as she was known, was the ruler of Egypt. And this Egypt was not the show it is today. No, sir. This is what they call the golden period of Egypt, when all of Egypt looked like Palm Springs. The women look like the MGM backlot in the 40s, and the men look like guys working out in Muscle Beach. Most of the men walked around in long beach towels they called togas, and the women mainly wore one-piece bathing suits and four-inch heels. It was a glorious time. There was much playing around in the sun, games like volleyball, played with human heads, the research shows, and other sports that were specific to the time, like the game Neurethine, which I don't have the time to explain, but it was something like the game lacrosse with shovels and rocks and was very popular, according to my research. Into this world of blissful pleasure comes Cleopatra, ha-cha-cha mama, Louis. She looked like Esther Williams climbing out of a pool.
Like who coming out of a pool?
Sorry, she looked like Dorothy L'Amour walking out of the jungle.
Dorothy? I don't know.
Veronica Lake, swishing and swaying her way onto the scene.
I don't know her either, sorry.
Okay, I'll make it easy. Sid Charisse in American in Paris. Awooga.
Nothing, sorry.
Janet Leigh.
No, I don't know.
Jean Harlow.
Nothing, I can't.
Let's see. Think, Ron, more modern. Here's one. Tina Louise, moving on.
I don't know her.
Okay, what if I threw Angie Dickinson your way?
No effect.
Three fast ones. Anita Ekberg.
No.
Jane Mansfield.
Nope.
Adrienne Barbeau.
Who?
Come on, she's contemporary. Got it. Wrap your millennial mind around this, Bo Derek.
No, you're just making up names.
I give up. Let's reframe this. Who is the most beautiful woman today?
I don't know. I think we have different ideas of beauty. I mean, I find Ruth Bader Ginsburg to be beautiful.
Oh, boy. Okay. Forget the analogy. Into this land of pleasure and decadence walks the lovely Cleopatra looking like Barbara Eden from I Dream of Jeannie.
I don't know who that is.
Anyway, this beautiful woman who apparently looks like no one that Carolina can recognize, even though I gave her 50 prominent examples that any Tom, Dick, or Harry could name, comes over to Julius Caesar's house in Rome, just the biggest, baddest ruler of all time, seduces him, has some children, and then heads home on a party boat. Cut to a few years later, now there's a new guy in Rome named Mark Antony, who looked like Victor Mature without his shirt on.
Who's that?
Just some guy. Forget I said it. He goes to visit Cleopatra up the Nile, and guess what? Seduces him. They have a couple of kids, so now you see why I want to meet up with her?
I don't know.
It's simple. Do I, Ron Burgundy, have the power to resist the greatest temptress in the history of mankind? Probably not. But I just gotta find out. It's time for another ad break. We'll be right back. You're just not going to believe who rounds out my list on the people I would love to meet in heaven. More after this. All right. We're back to the Ron Burgundy podcast. Thank you for your listenership. And Carolina, I think you've really been enjoying my list of the people I'd like to meet in heaven. I can tell by the smile on your face.
I mean, it's just another day at work. I'm just doing my job.
Good. Great. It's great to have a job, isn't it, Carolina?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Oh my God.
So where were we? Oh yeah. I'd like to sit down and meet Lassie.
Lassie the dog?
That's right. Lassie the collie dog. Of all the great animals that have passed away and gone to heaven, I think Lassie would be the most interesting to meet. Sure, Flipper the dolphin or Babe the pig come to mind, but if I see them in a coffee shop up there, I will no doubt say hello, but Lassie is the lady I want to talk to.
Do you think you'll be able to communicate with animals in heaven?
Why not? I mean, I talk to, you know, my dog Baxter every day, and he talks back to me quite often in a very dismissive tone. Baxter is a cantankerous little rascal sometimes who can dish it out just as much as he can take it. He can be a real Now, Lassie, that's a classy lady. She's saved lives, stopped criminals, starred in her own TV show. What a guest she would be on the Ron Burgundy podcast in heaven.
You do know that over the years, there were probably multiple Lassies that played the part of Lassie. Like, they all had different names and different trainers, probably.
You can be a real pill sometimes. Well, next, William Shakespeare, the writer.
Is there another William Shakespeare? Or is it just the writer?
Well, I don't know if you knew that William Shakespeare was a writer.
No, most people know that.
Well, you never heard of Dorothy L'Amour, so I figured maybe there was a gas leak or something, or you couldn't remember stuff.
I know who William Shakespeare is.
Good. He's one of the 10 people that I'd like to meet in heaven. That's the theme of today's show. As you know, I'm also a writer, mainly letters to food companies and airlines, but I also have written 8 unpublished novels and 2 books of poetry, a self-help book, a total fitness book, a book about ghosts, and I'm working on a history of all mankind. So as a writer, I think it would be very interesting to get into the mind of this guy Shakespeare. Writer to writer, how does he work? What's his process? And when starting a novel, does he like to work off an outline? That kind of stuff.
He wrote plays and poetry. He didn't write any novels.
Okay, Miss College Graduate. I'm sure he wrote some novels. They probably just weren't published at the time. Hamlet was a novel.
Hamlet is a play.
I'll be checking that on Google later. People throw facts around these days like they know stuff, but you can't escape the Google. Anyway, my point is, if I could sit down with this guy, Shakespeare, I could really figure out what makes him tick. And not to toot my own horn, but I can imagine he would want to know my process as well. For instance, I talk into a tape recorder when I feel a novel coming on. I can talk out a whole novel on a regular Sunday drive. Then I have someone type it up, and viola. I'm done. One complete novel. But I bet Shakespeare wishes he could have done that. Huh? Don't you think?
I don't know.
Well, anyway, Shakespeare and I probably have a ton in common, so I bet we could be pals in heaven.
That's 8 people, and you have 2 more.
Here's someone I would love to meet, and I know, Carolina, you're a big fan of, too. Mr. Evil Knievel.
Evil Knievel.
Yes.
What is the interest there?
Well, I mean, that guy just played by his own rules, you know? He just said, hey, you don't think I can jump 21 British double-decker buses at Wembley Stadium? Let me show you. Which, by the way, he clipped the last bus and wiped out horribly. But my point is, the pageantry, the flair, the capes, just the moxie.
Yeah, he sounded like, from what I've read about him, that he really struggled with alcoholism and openly cheated on his wife. And, you know, a lot of the stunts he pulled, he knew he would get an audience just because he would fail and injure himself.
And wouldn't that be fascinating to talk to him face to face?
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
And what I love, too, is that that was his birth name, and he turned it into a positive.
Someone named him Evil Knievel?
Clarence and Marcia Knievel named their son Evil. And he said, I'm going to turn this into a positive.
Yeah.
And make some sense out of this name.
It's so crazy. Clarence and Marcia just couldn't help themselves.
I mean, I bet you he had few regrets.
I actually think he may have had many.
And that's something you could talk to him about.
Yeah, I just feel like I'm going to want to meet different people. And so you can meet him, and I will talk to Winston Churchill. I feel like we might be in different crowds.
Okay, but don't call me on my heaven cell phone when you're hearing, you know, how great my dinner parties are going compared to yours. Okay?
I will call you on your heaven cell phone when I want to talk, but we'll have separate parties.
Fine. Fine. And I have a feeling you're going to regret that statement.
Okay.
I hope I don't.
In fact, I don't know if I want you at some of my parties in heaven.
Oh. So I'm already not invited. But what if I'm in the neighborhood? What if I make a wrong turn and I end up in your cul-de-sac?
Just respect that I might want privacy.
You know heaven's golf course living. It's resort-style living, right?
My heaven might be different, but sure.
Well, you don't have a choice.
Okay. I just find it sad that my heaven, I'll be living on a golf course.
Most theologians concur that a rough guideline of what heaven is going to look like. Now, I've never been to this place myself personally. I've seen photos, and it looks marvelous. But a rough template of what heaven is going to look like? Mar-a-Lago.
Oh, no. I truly think that might be hell.
Coral-colored Italian villas, stucco, beautiful sculptures, fountains, marble.
Oh,
for days.
A lot of marble.
And golf.
A lot of Greek pillars.
A lot of faux antiquities.
Oh, wow.
And that's what is in store.
I just feel like heaven's a little bit more like a Raphaelian painting, you know, maybe some nymphs, maybe some centaurs.
Who are kept in a zoo.
No.
You can go visit the nymphs and the centaurs at the zoo, the heaven zoo.
I don't want zoos in heaven.
Everyone gets their own golf cart. Did you know that?
No, I didn't. They do?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
One of the perks?
Can you remember the joy and the thrill of the first time you got to drive in a golf cart as a little kid?
Yeah. Riding the back of a golf cart.
Pretty fun. Yeah. So you're going to have your own personalized golf cart. You don't have to recharge it because it's heaven.
Okay.
It's an endless power supply. And you're just going to cruise around and, you know, have breakfast at 10 in the morning, leisurely breakfast, play a few rounds of golf, grab a soak, a sauna or a hot tub, lunch, cocktails at 3, fish dinner at 6, in bed by 8.
Oof.
Forever.
Fish dinner at 6 forever?
Fish dinner at 6, or you can order the tenderloin.
Oh.
So that's roughly what it's going to be like.
I just wish there were more options, I guess.
Well, it's tough when your only option is high-level luxury. So, I mean, is there any... How do you go up from there?
Oh, I feel like after infinity tenderloins or fish, I would start to hate heaven.
But do you like infinity pools?
Oh, yeah.
Because there will be one infinity pool in the center of the property.
All right.
That, no joke, goes on for infinity.
Oh, that's an existential crisis.
In fact, you have to be careful because if you don't figure out where the entrance point of the pool is, you'll go forever.
Yeah. You may start back up again.
You may start, exactly. But that's a brief sketch of what the cozy confines of heaven.
Okay.
11 o'clock curfew, by the way.
What do the guys wear there?
Golf attire, slacks, golf shirts.
The worst.
You can wear shorts, but you got to make sure you tuck your shirt in.
I don't look good in that outfit, by the way.
Women, preferably skirts. You can wear pants.
Okay.
With pleats. They have to be pleated.
Okay.
But comfortable golf attire.
Yeah, it's going to be hard
for
me.
So it's good. It sounds great.
I feel like I might be single in heaven.
And speaking of heaven, we'll round up our list. The number one person I'd like to meet.
Yes.
Drum roll, please. Jesus Christ. I know. I know that's day one stuff, but you don't go to the Louvre Museum without seeing the Mona Lisa. You don't go to New York without climbing to the top of the Chrysler Building, and you don't go to heaven without seeing the man. Just be interesting to sit down with that cat.
Would you ask for a picture?
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, there's going to be a photographer.
Oh, okay.
Throughout heaven. Always, yeah. There'll always be an on-set photographer at heaven. And he'll be like, can I get you two together? Please put your drinks down. They don't want you to be photographed with a cocktail in your hand. So yeah, I'd probably get a photograph up front.
It's like an expensive bar mitzvah.
Yeah.
That's sort of the production value. Yeah.
And then I would just... Let's see. I'd say, why'd you do it? Why did you and your dad come up with the whole shebang? That's what I'd ask him. Until then, that's what we ask ourselves every day. Why the whole shebang? Why the reason for any of it? What the hell is all the nonsense about? I suspect we would have to say something like, we're here to love one another. It's a shame, really, that most of us wait until we get to heaven to realize it. But what a beautiful shame, right? In the meantime, let's keep on deluding ourselves. If we can't love everyone, let's try and stay classy, folks. My name is Ron Burgundy. Good night, Boston.
Boston?
The Ron Burgundy Podcast is a production of iHeartRadio. I'm Ron Burgundy, the host, writer, and executive producer. Carolina Barlow is my co-host, writer, and producer. Our producer is Nick Stump. Our talent coordinator is Anna Hosnier. Our writers are Andrew Steele and Jake Fogelmess. This episode was engineered, mixed, and edited by Nick Stumpf. Until next time, this is Ron Burgundy.